human life is precious. Buddha didn't say the God realm is precious. He said human life is precious. And why is this? Because with human life, you can live a decent age, because you can enjoy life. There can be happiness, fortune. And the fact that people live doesn't rely on the size of our body or the strength of our body. Whose body is bigger? An elephant or a human? And what is it that determines whether we enjoy this life or have good fortune in this life? It depends on our previous life and the causes or the karma that we generated in our previous life. And a lot also depends on the state of our mind. And because their merit is great, they have this opportunity to be happy and to have good fortune and to enjoy life. Look at the lives of animals. How long do they live for? Not so long. Human life is precious, and to attain this human life depends on merit. If we don't have merit, it doesn't matter how clever we are, how much culture we have in us, it's still possible that what we do doesn't work. Whether it works or not, or is successful, depends on our merit. And on top of this, we add wisdom, and then this is a very fortunate life. Whether a person is lucky or not, what does luck depend on? Their merit. If we don't have the merit, if we don't have the good fortune at work or within our relationships, things might not run smoothly. Therefore, it's very important to generate merit. Just like a farmer. If a farmer just stands there and doesn't plant anything, do you think anything's going to grow just standing there? No. If you plant, then maybe at the end of the year or the next season, you have something that you can harvest. The seeds that you plant are the results that you get. And so we can really see this just in normal life, in science, in Buddhism. What determines whether things come together or are successful is arising causes. If you have the right arising causes, then for instance, if you plant vegetables or fruit, you will get the result. However, if you don't plant the fruit or the vegetables properly, then you have all kinds of problems with the crops. What is merit? Merit is just like the soil in which we plant the seeds. This is where we generate our merit. If the soil is fertile, then you can grow successfully. If the soil isn't fertile, the crops are difficult to grow. Over here, everybody's young. Start generating merit. You've still hopefully got quite a long road to continue on. And in the life of a human, there are all kinds of hardships and difficulties, and sometimes some moments of happiness and joy. However, these happinesses and joys are just like a rainbow. They appear and they disappear. In one aspect, happiness and joy and good fortune depends on arising causes, on merit, and the other is depending on our practice. Very important is our attitude. No matter how wealthy we are, if we have a bad attitude, then even with all of this wealth, we won't feel fortunate, or we might not be happy or joyful. Good fortune is a state of our mind. Joy or no joy will depend on the state of our mind. If you are often full of fear, worry, anxiety, where is happiness going to come from? Even if you change the place where you're at, still happiness doesn't seem to come. Observe what happens sometimes. Maybe something very difficult has just finished, or there's something, that big task that you had, that is completed, and then suddenly you think, oh, I'm so fortunate. Many people really don't know where happiness comes from or what happiness is. What is good fortune is when your mind feels really good and you feel happy. And what are the reasons that we are either happy or unhappy? Most of us don't know. And in a confused state, we go searching for happiness, joy. In reality, happiness has never left us. The problem is that you don't know where happiness really comes from. And as a result, we live this life full of confusion and we walk this road of life in confusion. We travel on this windy path looking for good fortune and happiness, when in reality it is in our mind. People with a good state of mind, generally every day they are happy. People with a good state of mind, it doesn't matter where they find themselves, what environment, what is going on, they still seem to be able to maintain a state of good fortune and happiness. And other people in the same place won't be able to bear it, won't be able to accept it, won't be able to stand it. Why is the one able to and the other not able to? Look at the people up on the mountain. Some of them can't stand it at all, and other people can spend 20 years there full of joy and happiness in retreat. There are people that have a lot of fame, status, wealth, and many people admire them, wish to have that kind of life. However, these people, how many of them really have genuine happiness? Other people look at them and say, oh, how fortunate this person is. But they don't see how much suffering and unhappiness these people actually have within their mind. It's not that they don't have happiness. Happiness is there. They have a greater opportunity maybe for happiness. However, they don't. Why? Because they can't control their afflictions. And when their afflictions can't be controlled, their problems are much greater. And why is it they're not able to control their emotions? Because they have a negative state of mind. And so it obstructs all of their opportunity for happiness. So how do I get a good state of mind? How do I transform these afflictive emotions? By meditating. One can meditate 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at midday, and another 15 minutes in the evening. Just think about it. You can spend 2 hours and time just goes like this in the morning. However, if you just sit for 10 minutes and meditate, then one is your mind is calm and pure, and the other is you are busy transforming your mind. Most of our mental suffering, the material world is not able to resolve. Apart from the sufferings of basic existence, most suffering is happening within the state of our mind. The other day I went with Churang to a big shopping mall, and there are so many things in that shopping mall, and still this is not able to satisfy the desires of many people. Such a huge shopping mall, people are walking up and down, and still with all of that, it's still not able to satisfy the desires of people. They still say there isn't the things that I'm looking for. Just think. So much available and still people's desires aren't satisfied. So you see, people's desires are limitless. Of course, desires are useful. They are useful in the fact that they give us direction to develop, to grow. However, these desires, we must know how to manage them well, to look after them well, control them. For instance, look at some of these insects. I think maybe it's like a moth. And what does a moth do when it sees the flame? It is attracted to the flame and flies into the flame. And when this happens, it burns itself and then it's already too late. It's already harmed itself or killed itself. And what is this? This is what our desires are like. If we don't have wisdom in our life, then our life becomes much the same as this moth that flies into the flame. And then the way we die is very painful. It's over very quickly, and we don't bring about any positive result for the life.